skies of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
But Lewisine's name came up a lot, and just that kind of unique skill set that we can add to our back end, that kind of interchangeable feel that we can maybe have at that safety position. It'll make for great competition because we feel really good, obviously, about Harrison Smith, Cam Bynum, and the ability to add this player in Lewis to compete in that room. And then there's a lot of things you can do personnel-wise to, you know, be dynamic on defense and just those interchangeable pieces that allow us to put the, you know, put that master plan together that Ed and his staff are going to do. I'm really excited about that.
There he is, Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. So, yeah, that was an interesting quote because he the first part of it, kind of the lead up to the, you know, to the money part that Dex played there was that the Vikings talked to several players from the Georgia defense. Because how many Georgia have like seven defensive players?
I think five in the crazy, first round.
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, five.
So five players in the first round, and the Vikings talked to pretty much all of them or a bunch of them and asked each of them, which of your college teammates would you love to take with you to the next level? And Lewis Seen's name came up a lot, O'Connell said. So interesting feedback there. All right, speaking of feedback, this is Feedback Friday on Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment, therapy, speculation. We're coming off just a ridiculously fun night at Surly Brewing Company. We and then all of you guys, the listeners and fans of Purple Daily and the Vikings, tapped out the Before I Die Ale that they produced specifically for last night, a one night only thing. So thank you for being thirsty last night and somewhat angry, according to some of the feedback that we're getting here. So we make these Friday shows all about you and your comments, critiques, concerns. And you can send us anytime during the week through the Score North app feedback via the quick message button toward the bottom. So let's just, the first section of this, boys, is just going to be pissed off fans.
Okay.
I must have sifted through 200 different emails via the Score North app from the middle of the draft last night till this morning. 90% of them are people just irate.
That sounds about right.
Happened. Yeah. That sounds accurate.
I'm with them.
So let's talk through it. Let's talk through it here. Let's start with Brad Tabas here. This is kind of an off-subject one via the Score North app. He says, am I the only one who thought that Judd looked like an old Kirk Cousins during the draft party last night?
Oh, wow.
Someone said that on the microphone last night, too. That
yeah, they
you
did.
Look like Kirk Cousins aged 25 years or something.
I hope for Kirk's sake that's not the case, but I mean, I'll take it.
Do you have a tube of rocks in your driveway where you take one out every month?
No, and I don't have meat to grill that is like somehow pure looking, which is also very odd.
Yeah. I want to apologize too because I mixed up last week Kirk Cousins' favorite band.
Yeah, you did.
I said it was Nickelback.
It was Creed.
It was Creed.
Oh, I didn't
catch respect it. On Creed.
Sorry about that. Sorry. Sorry to all involved.
Did you really mix it up, Phil?
I feel like those two bands are very interchangeable.
Did you
really
mix it up?
In the late 90s, early 2000s. Just kind of put them in the same bin there. Okay, Jack Tobridge via Twitter says, is this how the Packers fans feel when their GMs make dumb decisions? Lloyd Heim via the Score North app says, ouch. Fan from day one, 1961, Norm Van Brocklin, Joe Capp, Chuck Foreman, nothing like sitting at the old Met. Saw the ref get nailed with a Jack Daniels bottle after Drew Pearson threw down Nate Wright to catch the game winner for Dallas.
Armin Terzian, yeah.
And he's saying, that's my history, and last night was not fun. Led Zepp 33 on Twitter said, somewhere Spielman is laughing hysterically. Absolutely horrible. Frank Marino via the Score North app. Let me be very clear. The Vikings got the equivalent of the Montreal screw job in Vegas last night by their own general manager. You pick at 32 because you won the Super Bowl, not because you're the Vikings.
Right.
They've had two losing seasons. They're not good enough to pick at 32. When there were great players at 12 to help them, they did not get compensation that justifies this move. This was a horrid first round on all levels. I'll pause the negative feedback train there for a second.
It's hard to disagree with that. Like, again, you passed up at 12. Are you telling me there wasn't one player that you... So you basically at 12 looked at everyone who was still available and said, none of them. I'm going back 20 spots to 32. Yeah, I mean, look, the people who are pissed off and confused, I'm on board with them. I don't get it. This feels like the Vikings got cute. And that's what Rick did. And I keep telling
I don't think Rick would have made this trade, actually.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but I'm just saying Rick got cute a lot. And I keep saying on the show over and over, eventually we're going to find out that Kwesi was hired because he's different than Rick in some way. And Kwesi keeps proving me wrong. So, like, I get the frustration. I totally get it.
Well, I want to – a couple things here. Let me get to Brian Orcutt here via the Scornorth app. I think sums up in about seven words the exact way that I feel, which is, like the player, I absolutely hate the trade. And that's kind of where I'm at with this. In a vacuum, we talked about this on Purple Daily today. Lewis Cine is a really good player. He was the leading tackler and defensive MVP of the national championship game for one of the great defenses in college football history. And so in a vacuum, I am fine with Lewis Cine and maybe even semi-thrilled that they found a guy that plays at that level on that level of defense and seems to be a great character guy, intelligent, all those things. And I will also say this. I like stockpiling picks, not seventh round picks, but if you can find ways to add more second, third, and fourth round picks, you find really good starting caliber players within those rounds. I don't love the Vikings taking whatever it was, 13 sixth and seventh rounders over a 2-year stretch, 2019-20, but you know, the draft tends to be a crapshoot even in the first and second round. So if you have more stabs at first, second, third, fourth round players, I think that helps you build your team. So I'm good on those two things. But I just think if you're going to move from 12 back to 32, I think you need more than one third round pick and move up 12 spots in the second round. So I think Brian Orcutt nailed it. I like the player, not in love with the trade.
I like the player. I don't love the position. I don't know that the safety position is one that I'm dying to give a fifth-year option to. I think a cornerback in my world would probably be preferable. I guess here's my problem, too, though, at some point in time, when you trade back all the time or you trade back 20 spots from 12 to 32, my problem is this. Do you not trust yourself to have identified a potential star player at 12? Like, are you telling me I'd rather have – I mean, that's what Rick did. I'd rather have just more chances. And you know what? In the fourth round or something, knock yourself out. Yeah, you might be right. You might be wrong. But number 12 – in the entire draft, like we're talking about the world of football here.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that you're like, I don't really like any of these players. I just, unless you definitively win that trade, which then I'm on board with, like if you pillaged the Lions, if we all came in here today and said, "Ooh boy, did Kwesi get over on the," then I'm on board totally. But you didn't come close to that.
Headline from the Lions SB Nation blog. Pride of Detroit. Mm-hmm. Detroit Lions swindled the Minnesota Vikings in a first-round trade. And then the sub-headline is...
I love that word.
Dot, dot, dot. And walked away with arguably the most talented receiver in the draft. So that's how the Lions fan blogs are seeing it this morning. Now, they must have really had... Because obviously they could have had Kyle Hamilton at 12. And they just could have kept their picks intact.
Sure.
But they must have had Kyle Hamilton and Lewis Cine close enough on their board that having Lewis Cine and an additional third round pick and then move up a few spots in the second was worth more to them than drafting Kyle Hamilton with the 12th pick, which they could have, right?
Absolutely. The other thing that I don't like about this is I am not completely adverse to making trades with teams in your division, but I will say this seems to me to be an interesting gamble. If this guy flops, hey, great. That's great for the Vikings. But if he doesn't flop, like let's just say he's damn good. Let's just say he deserved to be the 12th pick. You've got to now face this guy twice a year for quite a while. Yeah. And this is a passing league. And if the Lions ever get the quarterback right, and I mean, these are all ifs, but if they ever get the quarterback right, you are now in a league that favors passing. That purposely sets up rules that are going to go against your defensive backs, and this guy is going to be potentially the beneficiary.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, of course, it also could be that the Lions are still incompetent, and they whiff on a lot of high-profile first-round wide receivers.
True.
And maybe this is another one. Sure. So Derek Nolan via the Score North app says, to Phil, Judd, Declan, the whole Score North team. By the way, our one of our other producers, Pat, who does a lot of video production, I think the over-under was, you know, 2.5 times mistaking Pat for Declan. I saw at least 5 times. I saw people walk up to Pat confidently.
Hey, Declan.
Introducing themselves to what they thought was Declan.
I could easily make that mistake.
Yeah.
And I work with both of them and see them.
It's even more spooky when Pat and I are both wearing like the same plaid button-up, which I often do in the office, and I get it. He does look like my brother, which is funny because brother Liam's been on this show.
Looks
and brother Liam and I, if you were blindfolded, you can kind of tell it. We sound alike. We look nothing alike. Nothing alike.
That's hilarious.
He looks more like I do.
Yeah, maybe he's your brother, and Pat's actually my actual brother.
Yeah. Judd does have a kid.
Yeah.
Judd does have a kid.
His name's Liam.
So Derek says, to the Score North crew, thanks for an awesome time last night at Surly. We drove up from South Dakota. It did not disappoint. Thank you, guys. No, thank you for making a long drive from South Dakota. A little reflection after last night's trade and also seeing how the night played out. I can almost guarantee no team was offering their first-round pick next year to move up. That's what we all kind of hoped, right? Oh, my God, they're moving back 20 spots. They for sure got a first-round pick next year.
Right.
But he's saying that probably didn't happen. So we need to stop pretending like that was an option. I'm guessing they didn't like the wide receivers left on the board at 12 because a bunch went off before it got to the Vikings. So they did get good value for their trade by moving up 12 spots in the second round and getting an extra pick in the third. It's a win-win for me. Once again, thank you guys for an awesome night and giving us a place to celebrate our Vikings fandom. I think it's so... If the Vikings had their eyes on wide receivers and cornerbacks at 12, the board played out really bad for them. Because 5 of those guys, right, were off the board before 12.
Sure. Yeah.
Corners like if Stingley was high up.
Right.
Didn't 2 Ohio State receivers go before 12? To pull up the draft order here.
Olave and
Wilson.
If Drake London was high, those dudes were gone by the time it got to 12. So that's another thing we don't know is, well, maybe they had 3 scenarios that just kind of went poof, and they're like, all right, I guess we're trading back now.
Right. But you still took, I don't know. I mean, you went so far backwards, though, and to the point that you brought up earlier, Phil, you didn't exactly win the trade and recoup. See, if I give you 12, you got to give me more on the back end of that trade. Like, I need more from you than what they got. The flip of second round picks is fine, but then I need something else besides your third round pick, or I'm not going to trade with that team. Because the assumption then is that Detroit was making the best offer. And I'm sorry, I find that hard to believe that was like the only one, because it's not like that's a great return for the Vikings.
Well, but here's the other thing. Ordinarily, the biggest returns come when a team gets the quarterback itch, right? The Kansas City Chiefs decide we're going to move up 17 spots for Pat Mahomes. The Washington football team moves up because RG3 all those years ago. And so maybe the Vikings thought, oh, this will be great. If this, and this happens, and there's still Malik Willis on the board and Kenny Pickett, well, there's 2 or 3 teams, the Saints, the Steelers. There's going to be teams that are going to be competing with each other to move up.
Right.
And they obviously teams weren't jumping over each other to draft Malik Willis last night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not to like paint the Vikings as victims or anything, but they kind of get screwed. Derek Stingley gone with the third pick. There was no fighting to move up for quarterbacks last night. So the offers probably weren't as juicy.
But if that's the case internally, because you basically play out all possibilities, right? In that case, internally, I think that you have to say, what happens if all of these guys are gone by 12 and we get offers, but they're not good enough? Because in my opinion, the Lions offer, not good enough.
Yeah, and they disagree.
Right.
They think it was.
Well, and they, yes, because I think they panic probably. And that's where I'm going to stand pat and say, okay, here's who I'm going to take there. Mm.
Mark via the Score North app here says, I want to apologize for many of my YouTube posts last night. I haven't combed through all of them yet because we were – Dex, you had the screen, and yeah. Judd and I were kind of, you know, without the monitor there. He goes, my comments were inappropriate and harsh. I am embarrassed at some of them. Mark, dude, what happened?
You're fine, Mark.
Did you just freak out? I really lost
Never
it.
Never apologize, Mark. Never apologize. When you get into the surly, don't apologize later.
He said, I really lost it with the trade, and maybe I wanted you and Judd to be more angry and fired up. You both seem much more measured and patient than you used to be, and maybe I wanted more fire. It's all good. Trade seems poor, but Scene looks like a very good player and will be for years before anyone can start.
I
got to
go watch
draft,
his stuff now.
Just go read his comments?
Or yeah, his comments.
Just lighten this up.
I was, and I remain perplexed. Like, it's hard for me right after a pick to, like, get, like, really mad or after a trade of that sort.
Well, you won't know for 3 years whether you should be mad or not.
Right, but I think it's very fair to be perplexed.
Listen, when the Timberwolves lose a 26-point lead in game three, I'm pissed in the moment, and you all saw that.
Mm-hmm.
The draft is a crapshoot, so we all have opinions on guys, and we all have hopes, and we all think that I think Malik Willis has a huge ceiling. I think he can, you know, but for the most part, even the front offices are kind of like, oh, these are all lottery tickets. We think this lottery ticket has a better chance to cash than that lottery ticket, but they're both lottery tickets. So to me, it's hard to get super worked up about anything that happens in the draft. It would have to be something very, very, very specific, or like you need to draft a quarterback and then you don't. Or no, honestly, if I'm a Packer fan and they have two picks in the first round and there's wide receivers all over the place and they draft a freaking linebacker.
Yeah. Again, like, a linebacker too.
I would be pissed about that if I were a Packer fan. I think it's hilarious because I'm not a Packer fan.
Well, I'm pissed. I'm just not apoplectic. And look, we all want to give Kwesi and this new staff a chance. Like they just got here.
Yeah.
They're doing very little to make me feel confident, but I mean, we're trying. Because if this had been Rick, like if Rick had done this exact thing, and to your point, he probably does not. But if he had, we would be like, oh my God, typical Rick, right? But I mean, there's no typical Kwesi at this point. We don't know. And I'm trying to be like, let's be patient. Let's give him a chance. And then he just keeps confusing me.
Yeah. Let's give Golf USA a chance, folks.
Yeah.
You know, maybe last night was the last of the really crappy Minnesota winter weather.
Yeah, the best deals of the year are under one roof on over 10,000 items, new and used, at Golf USA in Eden Prairie. A huge selection of clothing and shoes. I like to look good when I golf. Kwesi had that tie on. I was kind of questioning it. When I golf, I look damn good, okay? That's what I care about. I don't care if I shoot over 100. I like to look good when I golf. And my friends at Golf USA are helping me out. They're locally owned and managed. Stop in this weekend. They're on the corner of Prairie Center and Flying Cloud Drive, Golf USA.
Also, our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company have been helping us at Score North for a number of years here. They're one of our great partners. They've been helping business owners throughout the state of Minnesota and beyond for over 100 years. They're based in Owatonna since the early 1900s, and they specialize in very specific industries that they know and they appreciate, and they're not just trying to sell as many policies as possible. So the connection they make with you on a human level and a business level is unlike anything you're going to find in the industry. Federatedinsurance.com to find a full list of those industries. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. All right. The feedback continues here with Marty Lincoln via the Score North app. Missed the party last night. Looked like a great time at Surly. Can you and Judd dive into what the draft value chart, Kwesi was looking at when making the trade with Detroit? In my opinion, how does a team jump 20 slots and not have to give up their 2023 first rounder? Look at the trade when the Beard jumped up a few spots to get Fields. The Bears. He misses the typo.
James Harden traded
up? I was like, James Harden.
What's going on with James Harden?
I just read what's on the prompter. And gave up their 2022 first rounder. Please make it make some sense. So, all right, just on the draft value charts here, and Kwesi has referenced them, that, yeah, like we all kind of use them as starting points. So there's the OG draft value chart was created by Jimmy Johnson like 30 years ago, right? And that's the one that's the most publicized. And according to that OG draft value chart, the Vikings got fleeced by the Lions by a couple hundred points or something. It was like by the equivalent of a second or third round pick or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think according to that value chart, the way that trade would be even is if the Vikings, I believe, kept their second round pick. or if the Lions kicked in an extra whatever pick yep. or two. Sure. But there's some newer charts from ESPN and PFF that actually show it was more of an even trade or that the Vikings won the trade by the value equivalent of a fourth round pick. So,
it just depends
on.
Take your value charts and shove them. This trade doesn't feel right. Yeah, no, I don't mind them, but here's my problem with sports. Analytics and stats are awesome, and I think they're useful, and I think they're fun. But when that's all you go by, when it's just like the trade, I mean, at some point in time, you have to look at who's available, right? Like, you're talking about the 12th pick, and you're telling me you didn't feel comfortable with anybody there, and so you made a trade that's even questionable?
Yeah.
I feel like Kwesi wants to be, he's friends with GMs, and he calls them, and he's trying to, and it's like, okay, this is a good trade for both of us. Screw that! It's the Detroit Lions. If I don't win the damn trade, we ain't making the trade. I don't care if this guy was my lifelong friend since kindergarten. If he works for the bleeping Detroit Lions, I'm winning that trade. Or we're not making it. This is sports.
Yeah, I don't. The Lions. I know they're a division opponent, but they're the Lions, man. Like if it was the Packers are a more, despite the Packers' weird draft tendencies, and they have whiffed big time with positional value and drafting a quarterback. You know, a couple years ago, the Packers are a more savvy front office. I would avoid them in the draft. The Lions. But who cares? Like, are we all of a sudden to say that? Oh my God. Because the Lions identified Williams at 12, but I don't love the trade. But like the Lions factor to me is not part of why I don't like the trade.
But the Lions are the kid who has to give up his lunch money to the bully, and now the bully took his dollar and gives him 75 cents back.
Or is the bully now engaging in nonviolent resistance?
See, that's my problem. Yeah, and that's okay. The problem. I want violence here. If you don't wake up and choose violence against the Detroit Lions, then what the hell are we doing?
I mean, we got a guy who's shaving off kneecaps, and he got a stud at second overall in Aiden Hutchinson and Jameson Williams. So
Well, until they find someone to throw the ball to Williams, then...
That's also true. You don't trust Jared Goff? Yeah, good luck.
Take their lunch money.
Okay, Sandy Bovia, the Scorner Thap, says, was someone peeing behind you at last night's draft party?
Not to my knowledge.
I don't know. I was not turned around that
once.
Way.
Did someone go back there and take a leak at some point?
You know what? It was probably the rain. She probably heard the rain.
Okay.
And probably mistaked it.
Or someone made it rain.
Or actually someone was peeing behind us. I honestly have no idea.
Somebody might have made it rain.
I don't want to say anything more.
Let's see here. Bob Cristofono via the Scorner Thab says, do you think that the Vikings traded down to save money? What is the 12th pick paid and what is the 32nd pick paid? They're cap strapped. Still doesn't absolve them from not getting a 2023 pick as well. Looks like the new regime is in over its head and we'll have to wait a while for someone with experience to take control again. So Bob just accused the Vikings of saving money and just fired the front office for incompetence right there.
I think where Bob is maybe on the right track, and I'm not at the point of firing people yet, but I think where he is maybe going down the right path is, what agenda are they serving? And like, who's making the decisions? And how much does it doesn't feel like there's a, what's the word I'm looking for? Congruent plan in place here. It feels like they're trying to go down far too many paths and serve agendas. And that's my fear is collaboration turning into actually too many chefs in the kitchen?
I mean, there are a lot of, there's a couple wolves in the kitchen.
Yep.
We know that for sure.
And they got knives.
Yeah. So
and meat cleavers.
The question on the salaries, I just found this on Over the Cap.
Yep.
The Vikings with the 12th pick. So this is all slotted. You know, this changed like 12 or 15 years ago, I think, after the Bradford contract. Yes. It used to be a negotiation where it was just a kind of a blank canvas.
And
guys would hold out. And then they came up with slotted salaries for the draft picks. And the 12th pick in year one. Let's see here. These are rookie cap numbers by rounded pick. So this would be a $3.6 million cap number at the 12th pick. And the 32nd pick is a $2.3 million cap number.
Okay.
So they save $1.3 million to the cap on a $208 million salary cap or whatever. So it's not really a money-saving move. At least, I don't think it is. Bad dad joke via the Score North app says, the board yesterday could not have broken worse for the Vikings than it did. This is kind of what I said earlier. Hopefully they rebound on day two and come away with Booth Jr., who's a great cornerback. He's the 23rd player on the board for PFF. An edge rusher and a new starting center. Anything less than I'd call this draft disappointing. You know, we kind of talked about that earlier, man. I agree. The board broke very poorly for the Vikings.
The board did break poorly, but I think that you have to be prepared then to say, what if we don't get a trade offer that we don't like? Do we feel forced into making said trade? And I just feel like they made a trade because they got too cute. They got too smart. Mm. I think there were guys there at 12 that I would have taken.
I actually like this next comment. This is a great way to sort of wrap this portion of Feedback Friday. We'll get to another section here, but Jonathan Jepson via the Score North app. I was angry when they made the trade. Then I thought about how excited I was after last year's draft, and then about every other draft I followed since 1997 and realized it's all a giant game of luck anyway. We've drafted a lot of players I was excited to have on the team who ended up being crap. We've drafted a lot of great players who we've lost to injuries, domestic assaults, bad surgeries, cancer. Kenechi Desert, right? Who knows how this is going to play out?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You know, that's a great perspective from Jonathan right
there. It is fantastic, but just be sports dad and bring you down a little bit, Jonathan, here. I think what the important thing is, let's look at the trends, or let's look at the tendencies. That's probably a better term than trends, because Kwesi has not been in the job that long. Let's look at the tendencies of what he's doing and how it fits, and that's what concerns me more. So, yeah, I mean, if this was his first move, I wouldn't like it, but I would be a lot more deferential in how I talked about it. But there's a lot of things since he got the job that just flat out confuse me. And this continues the pattern of sports day confusion.
Okay.
So that's because that point's a great point. It's the draft.
It is. This is why I don't, every year, I'm mostly neutral on my, like, I'll sway one way or the other. Like, when it comes to value of a trade, I might have a stronger take on something. No. The Vikings passed on this guy and drafted this guy. I don't know. When the Vikings drafted Kevin Williams, were people excited? Not really.
No, they're pissed because they missed their pick.
He wound up becoming one of the great players in franchise history. No?
I believe that they lost out on Ryan Sims, right? Didn't the Chiefs, or I think the Chiefs grabbed Sims, and the Jaguars, they actually fell two slots. Because I think Byron Leftwich went to Jacksonville, and then the Vikings got back.
So team saw their chance to just sprint to the podium and get their picks in.
Yes.
So Feedback Friday continuing here with this next section is, that was sort of pissed off fans was the first section. This is a little bit more specific to the player in question at 12. So the Vikings, I think Kwesi even said last night, I think he said this in his post game, that Jameson Williams was someone that they had their eyes on as a potential, you know, draft pick. And then the Lions wind up, the confidence you have to move up 20 picks to draft Jameson Williams. So a lot of stuff coming in about him. Let's start with a couple of these here. Robert B. via the Score North app says, of all the trade backs in her division, to give up a world-class player like Williams or Hamilton for what? Nothing? Spielman reincarnated. I am losing faith in this whole team. Team 500. And then Steve Graff jumps in. I'll read a few of these and we can talk about this. Steve Graff via the Score North app says, when a division foe wants to move up 20 picks into your first-round spot, the proper response is to tell them to bend over and say, thank you, sir, may I have another, until you're satisfied they have nothing more to give. I can't envision or remember any competent GM getting fleeced this badly by the team wanting to move up. Point values get thrown out when trading in division, and he had to make them pay up, and they didn't. This one will be frustrating for years. Williams will, of course, now own the Vikings. Just our luck. And then Ken Olson via the Score North app says, when I woke up this morning, the very first thing that popped into my head was, we gave Detroit arguably the best player in the draft for a third-round pick. I am still pissed. Is Jameson Williams going to come back and haunt the Vikings? Or would he have been, on the flip side, someone that could have elevated the Vikings offense to where we would like it to be?
Well, let's start going backwards then, because question two, I think, is very possible. Like that's the exact type of pick that we were talking about, right? Long-term Thielen replacement, just as importantly, short-term, once he comes back, a guy that can be plugged in and contribute. So, yes, I mean, would I have been, if you had told me last night, if you had said, Judd, the board's not going to fall great. It's not going to be a disaster. Like, let's not pretend it's a disaster. But at 12, they're going to take Jameson Williams. I would have said, oh, cool. I like that. Like, that's how we've been thinking. We've been talking about that for a month on this show. Is he going to come back and haunt him? I don't know. Do I agree that Kwesi should have said, and the Collaborators, his band, his
Kwesi and the Collaborators
backup band.
I love that.
Kwesi and the Collaborators should have said to the Lions, we got to get more. We need it. We need more. We need your 2023 first round pick. Oh, and if we don't get that, there is no trade.
No trade.
Because
you know,
Kwesi thinks quick.
Kwesi and the Collaborators.
Kwesi and the Collaborators.
That's great work, boys.
Thank you so much. You guys, you've been a great crowd. We just got Detroit's 2023 first round pick. I do agree with that about a division trade, especially with a team like the Lions.
Okay, I'm just, again, different front office with the Lions and different coach, you know, because they fire everyone every 2 or 3 years or whatever it is. But, okay, they nailed Calvin Johnson back in 2007. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they definitely nailed him. But as I go through their history as a franchise, when they draft receivers in the first or second round, okay, now Calvin makes up for a lot of this. So they you know, he's one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Absolutely.
But I'm just going back 15 years here. The non-Calvin Johnson receivers, here they are. First and second round. Charles Rogers, Roy Williams, mm-hmm. Mike Williams, mm-hmm. Titus Young, Ryan Broyles. Those are just epic busts. So they've got one Hall of Famer that quit football early because the franchise was such a dumpster fire.
Yep.
And then five absolute historical train wreck busts in the first and second rounds. So, again, different front office, different era. It's you can't necessarily hold Charles Rogers 20 years ago against this regime with the Lions, but it is the Lions. So I'm not – if it was the Patriots, if it was the Rams or something, I would feel like, ooh, it's like trading with – there's certain teams in baseball you don't want to trade with, you know, usually the Tampa Bay Rays, although I think the Twins got the best of the Joe Ryan trade.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the first part of my – assessment is I don't fear the Lions part of this as much, but I think it's less about, oh my God, the Lions got Jameson Williams. Now he's going to haunt the Vikings, which may or may not happen. And it's more about the Vikings had a chance to have maybe three of the top 15 wide receivers in the NFL in a system that runs more three wide receiver sets than any team in the NFL. Jameson Williams before the injury was regarded as the number one wide receiver in this draft. This dude averaged 20 yards per reception at Alabama his junior year last year.
Yep.
Against some of the best teams in the country. 15 touchdowns, 1,600 yards. He's one of the best downfield threats. So I think the Lions are going to find a way to screw this up because Jared Goff's the quarterback, and I don't know, Dan Campbell seems like a great offensive line coach or something, but I don't know that they're going to maximize this talent. I think the Vikings would have. I like Jameson Williams better with the Vikings than I do with the Lions. So it's more about what the Vikings may have missed out on here than what the Lions are gaining.
And I would not mind this trade if the Vikings had gotten more. Like, that's my whole thing is, yeah, just from a starting point, forget the player for a second. Let's just go to what the trade was. That's where my confusion and not liking it starts.
Richard Benson here via the Score North app says, greetings, gentlemen. I was ready to congratulate Phil on the Vikes taking a receiver at the 12th pick. Then I was ready to get stoked when they took Malik Willis at pick 32. Now I sit here somewhat befuddled. I watched the entire Purple Daily Live podcast last night on YouTube.
Thank you.
You guys did a very good job. Thank you. I guess there's still a chance to get a quarterback at pick 34, but I admit it looks very doubtful. What bothers me the most is that I have been all in on Kwesi from the beginning, and I feel like he hasn't shown me anything really special yet. So there's a lot to pick apart here, but mm-hmm. I don't think he's made moves and they haven't played games yet. So we can sit here and we can dissect the moves. And right now it's basically, what do we think as fans and talking heads? And then what does he think as the GM of one of 32 NFL football teams in the world? And it won't play out until they play actual games. And it might not. And I'm talking about the free agents. I'm talking about the draft picks. I'm talking about the Kirk Cousins re-signing. We can sit here and have opinions all day, but to have a definitive, to have your mind made up to say that, well, he hasn't shown us anything yet. Well, they haven't played games yet. maybe he's right about some of this stuff. Oh, I'm still a believer in Kwesi. I'm a little perplexed at a couple things here and there, but let's let it play out and see.
I don't like what the franchise is doing, and that goes beyond Kwesi, because I'm willing to give him last night. I think that was probably him and his collaborators, but beyond that, why would you sign Cousins back for another season? It's things like that. I mean, I really think that there is a disconnect here. I think Rick was fired because they really felt the need to have a lot of people have a say. And in pro sports, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like what they have done. I don't like the philosophy of, well, we think we're going to be super competitive and we can win a Super Bowl in 2022, which I completely disagree with. But yet we're not going to take the best player at 12, and we're going to trade back, and we're going to trade back so far, and then we're going to take a safety. It feels like there's a lot of different people making decisions based on what they think. And because of the new culture there and the collaborating, everyone sort of gets their say. And then they do things based on that. Because the Cousins thing to me feels like a Wilfs thing.
But I still think you're mistaking taking input from smart people that you have on your staff with everyone's opinion is equal to yours. I don't want him to just sit in his office and make decisions without getting input from scouts and other people
and
capologists.
But he should get input, but it feels like it goes way beyond that. It feels like the Wilfs are like, we got to win now. We can win now. Let's do this. And so they bring guys back. There does not seem to be a plan here in place for how they're going to get to a Super Bowl. There seems to be a plan in place to continue doing what they were doing previously with people who are probably more pleasant to be around than Mike and Rick.
Do you think Mark Wilf is really the shadow general manager of the Vikings right now?
I think the Wilfs have a huge say, yes. Yeah, I mean, I never accused them of this before, but yeah, I think that there is I think the Wilfs want everybody to play nice. And that means that they're also coming in and saying, we can win now. There's no reason why we can't. It goes back to what we've discussed for a long time now, which is they've convinced themselves that Zim was the devil. And if Zim's just out of that building, everything's going to work itself out. But I'm not blaming Kwesi solely. To be clear here, I don't like what he did last night necessarily, but I'm not saying this is all on him. I'm saying I think the Wilfs see him as a means to also execute what their plan is. And I don't know that their plan is better than just being super fans.
Yeah. You know, so I saw Sam Monson. Someone sent me a clip of the Pro Football Focus live stream last night with PFF Sam Monson, friend of the brand here. And Steve Palazzolo, PFF Steve.
Yeah.
And they did a few minutes on the Vikings after the trade. And Sam went on this rant. He just kind of went off. He was like, okay, and I'm not going to do the Irish accent because he has a great Irish accent, but the Vikings are just in a rowboat going in circles, just rowing in circles, rowing in circles. And then they decided, okay, we can't keep going in circles anymore. So let's bring the oars into the boat and let's fire the guy that was rowing the boat or the guys that were rowing the boat.
Yep.
And then let's put some new guys in the same boat and just drop the oars in the same water. And just keep rowing in circles. And yeah, I get that that's how it kind of feels right now, but there's so many things behind the scenes that they're looking to change. They're looking to change and you might laugh at some of this. They're looking to change the way they communicate with players. They think they can maximize some of the same players more than the previous coaching staff did. And that's a lot to gamble on as your roster, especially defensively, starts to age. But that's one of the things that they think they can do. I think they can maximize it more too, by the way. But yeah, a lot of the things on paper look very Rick Spielman-esque. Trading back in the draft, getting a linebacker and defensive tackle in free agency.
Yep.
You know, kind of piecemealing the offensive line again with some scrap heap players, free agency.
Well, and my problem too is they allowed the players to tell them what the reality of the players was. And at some point in time, you need to clean players out. And look, you can't have a culture as bad as the Vikings became, and then just blame, it's all on Mike and Rick. And once we're players always say what players want and what their own agenda is, and that doesn't mean that that is the direction to go down. See, let's see 2016 Wild, Minnesota. Yeah. They told you what was what. And guess what? That's BS. Get out of here. You're gone. And, you know, what Kendricks did still rubs me the wrong way. And he does a lot of good, and I think he's a very smart man. But for him to have been as team as he was, and then literally the day that Mike is fired tells you culture of fear. You're gone, dude. Like, that's not, that doesn't fly with me. Then if it was that bad, then you had to have a bigger voice then. Don't get Mike out the door and say, culture of fear. So you were afraid Mike was going to cut you, Eric?
Yeah.
You know, if you're a first-year player, totally get that. Shut up, sit down. But if you're a leader and you allowed everything to go on behind the scenes and now you're going to clean it up and make it very clear this was all Mike's fault, that completely, to me, is a respect factor that I think is gone.
You and I'm glad we're going down this path because you and I are fully aligned on this. Like, there's so many people that think, well, what are you supposed to do? Your boss won't let you lead. This is different. This isn't working in an office building. This isn't. And by the way, even in your office building, if your boss is being a jackass and not letting people, you can definitely speak up. You can manage up. There's ways to not just go in and put your head down and go into your cubicle, right? So, you know, Kirk Cousins, Eric Kendricks, what are they supposed to do? The coach was a tyrant and led a culture of fear. I don't know. You guys are all adults. You have just as much leverage as great players in the organization as the coach that's not winning games anymore.
Correct.
So, yeah, why was some of that stuff, why did the ownership not even know that the general manager and the coach weren't speaking to each other? So some of this is going to get fixed by just having better communication with the GM and a better relationship. But to your point about the players, what kind of leaders are you guys if you just sort of let this happen and didn't step up and manage up and make your voice heard? The New York Bingo. Giants team that people compare, like, well, Bingo. If the New York Giants can make a run in 2007, their quarterback can get hot. Why can't the Vikings? Well, guess what? The leaders of that team before that season started went to their tyrant culture of fear coach and said, guy, we ain't going to play for you anymore. And Tom Coughlin said, okay, let's talk. What do you need me to do?
Exactly.
I'm here. We all want the same thing. We want to win, right?
And the other thing that you have to be careful about, because athletes are prone to this, is they basically tell you what was what and how it's going to improve. And then when people who are more open to listening to them come in, guess what they do? They try to run things. And there is nothing worse than allowing players to run things. There's a difference between all being on the same page. But that whole thing of, well, Zimmer was a tyrant and now he's gone is also sometimes an entree to be like, okay, now we got who we want and now we're going to push. There's a lot of red flags in sports that come up that I don't know that people read correctly.
This reminds me of the comment that Kyrie Irving made a couple days ago after the Nets got swept. And he said, you know, yeah, I definitely plan on coming back and I want to play here again. And, you know, me and Kevin Durant are really looking forward to continuing to build this franchise with our partners in the front office. It's like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
You're what?
Yep.
No, dude, you're a player.
Yep.
Okay, as we keep going through these comments here, the other thing that Richard Benson said was, I still think there's a chance they pick a quarterback at 34, but it looks very doubtful. The quarterbacks, there's one quarterback in the first round. I don't know how long it's been since we've only seen one quarterback in the first round, but Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, Carson Strong, those are basically the next five quarterbacks on most draft boards. The Vikings have three picks tonight. Is there any chance they take a quarterback?
By the way, FanDuel, on the odds of the five players that could go at pick 34, the leading candidate, Malik Willis at minus 150.
To the Vikings.
To the Vikings, pick number 34.
Really?
Malik Willis, minus 150. Andrew Booth, plus 500. Tyler Gordon, plus 750. N'Kobe Dean, plus 1,500.
Interesting. So I'll go back to what I said earlier. I can't remember if it was Purple Daily or Mackie and Judd, but so Malik Willis has been deemed by every team as a project at this point. If he was just ready-made, ready to step in and just be Malik Willis in the NFL, he would have been a first-round pick. And he would have been a first-round pick that gets a 50-year option on his rookie-scale contract. So if you have the 32nd and 34th picks and you like Malik Willis, why would you not draft Malik Willis with the 32nd pick to get the fifth-year option on a project quarterback that needs extra time to develop? That's why this is weird to me. If they did it, yeah, Listen, I'll celebrate and it'll be a freaking blast and it'll be great to talk about, but wouldn't that be a miss? Am I missing something? Wouldn't that be a misstep? Why would you? unless they feared that who's picking 33rd, Tampa? Maybe they feared that the team picking 33rd was going to draft Lewis Cine.
But if you're sold on the quarterback, you take that chance.
Well, but they're not sold on the quarterback. Otherwise, they would have taken him at
right,
12,
but if you're
right?
going to take him, it still does not make sense. No, it doesn't make sense.
You have to get the fifth year. If you have the 32nd pick and the 49th pick, all right, control. Okay, well, maybe we're not quite sure enough to draft him with the 32nd pick, and if he's still there at 49. But if you literally have a one-pick gap between the two, but one of them you get a fifth-year option, the other one you don't, why would you not take the quarterback at 32?
So are those odds guessing, or is there steam towards that becoming a reality that the Vikings take him?
Well, I mean, it's per FanDuel, so they're obviously looking at it from a betting side, but I mean, the fact he's minus one, and like the difference, like Booth is plus 500 and he's the second most likely to go. That's a huge gap.
That's amazing.
Now, if I take those odds and put the bet down because I think that the Vikings are going to trade that pick and he's going to be picked by a different team, do I still win?
No.
Okay. No. So it has to be the Vikings at 34. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
I don't know. I'm like, dude, I am as confused as I have been in a long time about what the strategies are here.
Okay, Wade Brucklemeyer via the Score North app says, do you guys think ownership is behind the scenes pushing their own opinions and agendas, or is this all Kwesi? Is ownership too hands-on?
I think so, 1,000%. I can't prove it, but I mean, yes, it definitely feels like I cannot believe a football guy is doing all of these things. And a bigger surprise to me, if I was to find out this was all Kwesi, then what transpired last night would be the decision to run this much back. So, yes, I think that the Wolves lost track of this team in 2021. I think that they basically didn't know, because of things going on probably with their soccer teams and elsewhere, that the GM and coach quit talking. And it feels like they're absentee parents that are back in their kids' lives now and are like, oh, we're back and this is what you should do. I'm sorry. I cannot justify in my mind that a football guy looked at this roster and decided I'm going to run as much back. It's football. It's constantly fluid. It changes. Even good teams you can't bring back, I don't think, as many guys as they've brought back. So I feel like the Wolves, for the first time, really have gotten super involved.
I just thought of a fun Purple Daily episode for next week. We should do, I don't know, midweek next week or something. If the Vikings would have blown it up, like Ryan Pace probably would have, like he kind of stripped the Bears down, right? If they would have,
Pace, Poles.
Yeah, they're
all
both right. Fire, whatever.
Yep.
If they would have traded Kirk, let's say, for a first and a third round pick or something, and we can kind of make up what the pick would have been, what would the draft have looked like for the Vikings? You know, you don't have to answer now, but it's kind of a fun thing to think about. If they went maybe they had signed a Marcus Mariota, but they're still in the market. Like the Steelers signed Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
They still drafted Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I got takes.
What would the whole thing have looked like?
I like that. Interesting. Let's do it. Let's do it next week. I love that idea.
All right, boys. Feedback Friday here every single week. We turn the show over to you guys. And again, if you missed the live Purple Daily
no Twins
4.5-hour extravaganza, I'm sorry.
7-game win streak first since 2011. No Twins questions?
All that time. They win again last night?
Yeah.
Yeah. 7 consecutive wins.
They're hot.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome. No, I'm genuinely happy.
No
for
wild
time.
Questions?
That's great.
Big win last night.
Well, tonight's going to be ridiculous. Every team's in action tonight, right? Mm-hmm. Including Vikings draft. And the Wild needs either a St. Louis loss, so they need
just a point.
Okay.
They need a point.
Or a St. Louis loss. Right?
I thought did the Blues already finish their season?
No, the Blues play tonight against the Golden Knights.
They basically have to play a point ahead of the Blues.
Yeah. Okay. They can't be tied. They will lose ultimately if they're tied.
You will lose.
All right. Cool. Thanks for hanging out with us, Mackie and Judd. And we will be live at least a couple times on the Purple Daily YouTube channel tonight, reacting to Vikings picks and Score North YouTube channel for a special Mackie and Judd Wolves vent line after game 6. What are you doing?
I'll be drinking.
That's not.
No, we're done. We're done. God.